grab some popcorn and a favorite chair. The love of movies is why we're here. Press play and don't delay. Let Phil be our guide to a cinematic day. Phil at the movies, from the silver screen to his podcast stream. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies. Phil at the movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines, because this summer movie season is going to roar. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up and start screaming. Welcome back to another edition of Phil at the Movies. As always, I'm your host, Phil, and I'm delighted to be welcoming you back to show number 170 of this ongoing podcast that is, you guessed it, for the love of movies. And what a week for movies I had. Amid all of this humidity and oppressive heat and truly the dog days of summer here in June, I was able to enjoy two different movies this week. First, on Monday, for a mystery movie, which I was delighted and surprised and excited to see was, in fact, yes, hold on, you know what I'm going to say, Jurassic World Rebirth. Yes, the new entry in the Jurassic Park franchise. I felt like a kid again watching this movie, and I'll have more to say in just a little bit. Then on Wednesday night, I caught an advanced screening of F1. This is the new Brad Pitt film, where he plays a Formula One race car driver sort of coming out of retirement and trying to see if he still has a few laps left in him, so to speak. But two different movies, but two films that really embody, I think, the vibes and feelings of what I associate with summer movies and summer entertainment. Kind of think of the blockbuster or the popcorn film or the big tentpole film of the summer. These really felt like monumental events. And again, we're only in June. Jurassic Park will open nationwide next week. F1 opens today. And of course, July is just a jam-packed calendar with movie after movie. Again, the month will, of course, start off with Jurassic World, and then the week after, Superman will fly to the big screen. I'm on bated breath with that one, everybody, but you all know my thoughts when it comes to The Man in Blue. Week after that, the I Know What You Did Last Summer is returning, another horror film slasher, a callback, sort of a quasi-reboot sequel, if you will, a subtle restart of that particular series. There's also the new Ari Aster film, Eddington, which stars Joaquin Phoenix and Pedro Pascal. That probably wouldn't classify as a summer blockbuster, but certainly it is one that I'll be seeing on July 18th. And then, of course, rounding out the month will be the Fantastic Four First Steps movie, which personally, of all the upcoming superhero films, comic book movies, that one takes the top prize for me. I'm really looking forward to that one. And then again, at the end of the month is another horror film from one of my favorite studios, and I think arguably the best studio out there today for the genre, Neon's Together, which, do yourself a favor and watch the first teaser trailer. That is all you need to know for that movie. I am pumped to see it and terrified at the same time. But today, I want to talk with you about the two films that I saw this week, Jurassic World Rebirth and F1. And I'll probably actually spend more time on F1 since that opens today. And let's be honest, a Jurassic Park film really doesn't need to be sold in any way. The title kind of carries all the bells and whistles for it, but I do have a few moments to speak about, because I have not been a fan of the recent entries in the franchise. Frankly, the last three films I thought were an abomination. And again, I know they're movies about dinosaurs, so you know you kind of know what you're going for, but I was very receptive to this new film, and I did not expect to be. So that was really a surprise for me. But F1, I have to say, it really did feel like the movie event of the summer. And I will share with you my thoughts and reactions with that in just a moment. But first, let me just say, as I often do at this point, thank you for tuning in to another episode. If you could be so kind to rate and review this podcast, it helps a great deal with the pesky algorithms and raising our profile and getting more people to listen and tune in and engage each and every Friday. If you could share it with your friends, your family, like-minded movie buffs, maybe even, I suppose, an enemy or two. Like I said, all movie fans are welcomed here. But no, let me just say with a just profound appreciation just how grateful I am. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I know I say it all the time, but this would not be possible without you, the listeners, you, the friends of this show. 170 episodes. I never thought I would get past maybe 10 or 12. I mean, I really sort of figured, well, we'll see what happens. But it's all been because of you, the listeners and friends. And I am grateful to each and every one of you who takes the time to listen to the show, to share it, to spread the word. From the bottom of my heart, again, I know I say this every time, but thank you, thank you, thank you. I love this cinematic community we have created together, and it's only going to go on from here. It's only going to continue to grow. So many more movies to discuss and enjoy and appreciate together. So F1 tells the story of Sonny Hayes, played by Brad Pitt, who was Formula One's most promising driver until an accident on the track nearly ended his career. Now, 30 years later, Ruben, Sonny's friend and the owner of a struggling Formula One team, convinces Sonny to return to racing and become the best in the world. Now driving alongside the team's hotshot rookie, Joshua Pierce, played by Danson Idris, Sonny soon learns that the road to redemption is not something you can travel alone. Rounding out the cast is Kerry Condon, who plays Kate, the team's technical director, who proves to be a challenge for Sonny and an eventual love interest. Now, the film is directed by Joseph Kosinski, who famously did Top Gun Maverick from a few years ago. And F1 affectionately has been called Top Gun, but on the racetrack. And just from the standpoint of it being an immersive visual experience, as well as the attention to detail with regards to the Formula One racing. This is not just sort of a, all right, let's just slap a bumper sticker on it and call it a day. There's a real painstaking effort to get all of the minutiae and details. I mean, I felt like I was taking a course on F1 racing. And I mean that as a positive. The movie is so intelligent, the way it lays out the inner workings of these cars, the mechanics behind it, all of the design features, the sort of the nature, if you will, of what goes into racing. I felt like I was getting an education while having a great time with the movie. So it kind of is a two for one in a lot of ways. But you go to a movie like this for the experience, for the immersive nature. And I felt like I was right there in the car. I felt like I was Brad Pitt and I was going down the racetrack. I mean, it's such an in-your-face experience that you can't help but just be cheering along and feeling like you have rocket fuel in the back of your seat. I mean, that's how I felt from the beginning of this film until the very end. But in addition to the spectacle of it all, the film has a great story. And it's a movie that you kind of would expect from a popcorn film. It sort of checks the boxes with comedic timing. There's a little romance between Pitt and Kerry Condon's character. But it never feels forced. It never feels in your face, so to speak. Everything kind of is centered around the world of F1 racing. And so all of the drama, all of the excitement arises from that world, and we're thrown right into it from the very beginning. And I like how Sonny's character, and I have to give props to Brad Pitt. He really gives a terrific performance in this film. I think it might even be one of his best, because he's playing a guy who's in a lot of ways out of his element, because he had such a promising career. It was all upended because of an accident, and now he's trying to see if he still has it in him. And there's this great clash with his fellow teammate, Joshua Pierce, who's played by Damson Idris, and he is phenomenal in this movie too. And it's really great to see both him and Pitt spar off each other, kind of go toe to toe. Really great, just comedic timing and excitement with their rivalry bubbling beneath the surface. But the story itself is about Pitt's character and his attempt to find redemption within himself, and can he be the best in the world? And I like that this movie doesn't give him a sort of a spoon-fed or a shoehorned arc, so to speak, where he becomes the wise mentor figure and passes the baton, or, you know, is a changed man because of X, Y, and Z. This is a personal story, and it's a story about someone discovering if they still have the juice, so to speak. And again, I won't spoil it, because it's one of those movies where you want to experience the entire race of it all. But I loved the sort of arc, but also arcless nature, if you will, of Sonny in this movie. And once you see the film, if you agree, I think you'll understand my point with that. But just from an adrenaline rush, I was right there from start to finish. This movie felt like it was taking me on a journey. As I said, I thought I was right there in the car racing along. I mean, the way they were able to film this, it's like you were being taken from your seat and put right into the cockpit, and you're just slamming right there on the accelerator. The way they're able to maneuver the camera, the quick cuts back and forth, but it never feels like we're being taken out of it. Like, this was not filmed against a green screen, if you will. And as I understand, much of this was actually done by the actors themselves. So it really does add to the credibility and the intensity of it all. And again, just to sort of put a finer point on it, the theater where I saw it, now this was, of course, an advanced screening, but everyone broke out into applause at the end of the movie. Like, it's one of those feel good, you leave the theater pumping your fist at the end of it kind of movies. It's what we associate, what I associate with a kind of classic summer blockbuster. You know, again, it's entertaining, you've got some emotional moments, you've got a little romance, and you've got the adrenaline rush. And I will say, I don't know if any other summer movie that is going to be coming out in the next month, I don't think any of them are going to match the intensity that I felt with this movie. It was such an experience. And it also, I think, helped that you had fantastic performances and a compelling story. It wasn't just sort of spectacle and nothing else. There is some meat on the bones, or a lot of tread on the tire, if you will. And that really helped the overall experience. But I would say see this movie, and see it on the biggest screen imaginable. My next trip is going to be to see it on IMAX. Yes, I'm going to see this movie at least twice. That's how much I enjoyed it. I saw it on an RPX screen, which is not quite an IMAX, but it's still a large enough format that you just felt just sort of overwhelmed in the best possible way by the images. I imagine when I see this on the IMAX screen, I will feel like I'm levitating and probably have an out-of-body experience. It'll probably be a religious event for me. But F1, the movie, I think this is going to end up being the summer movie for me. It is big, it is propulsive, it is explosive, it's funny. I was actually surprised at how much humor was in this film. Javier Bardem is always a delight in any role. He's fantastic in it, in his role as Ruben. The dynamic between Sonny and Joshua, just great chemistry and tension, as well as the romantic sort of underpinnings, if you will, between Kate and Sonny later on. It's what we would call a four quadrant movie. It really does deliver all of those beats you want in a summer movie: funny, romantic, spectacle, epic. Just a movie, as I said, you walk out of it with your fist pumping in the air. You can't wait to go tell someone about it, and then you want to go see it again. So F1, the movie, it opens today. It stars Brad Pitt. This movie, I think, really kickstarts the summer season. But for me, I'm not sure I'll be able to capture this excitement again with any other movie. And that's not to dismiss or diss any of the other films, but I had such a phenomenal experience with this movie. I felt like I was on the best possible ride, but at the same time, like, I also was engaged in the story and this world of F1 racing, which, again, to be honest, I had a very limited knowledge of going into it. So I kind of felt like I, you know, not necessarily came out an expert, but I felt like I really got something out of this movie on top of just having a damn good time with it. So the film is F1. It opens nationwide today. And I, again, we'll check back at the end of the summer, but I think this is going to be one of the, I think this is going to be, for me, the film of the summer. And already I'm putting it in my top five films of the year so far. So that, again, there's the praise I have for this movie. A damn good time. And you know that sound. Guess had to close out today's review, today's episode, with some thoughts on Jurassic World Rebirth. This is the latest installment of the highly successful and also, fair to say, extremely divisive Jurassic Park franchise. The original film, which came out over 30 years ago, is a seminal movie. It's kind of a quintessential summer blockbuster, if you will, that again sort of checks all those boxes, but also gives you a good story along the way. And I have always felt in the films that have followed, and there have been six total, every one of them has failed to capture the magic and wonder of that first film. And again, that's the genius of Steven Spielberg. That first movie was lightning in a bottle. And not to say that the other ones haven't been entertaining, because again, we're talking about a movie centering around dinosaurs in a theme park, or dinosaurs loose in our world. I mean, we're not asking for Gone with the Wind here, or The Dark Knight, or something of that caliber. I mean, it's a movie about dinosaurs, so again, I realize I have to lower the expectations. But the first film is just so well made and acted and delivered. All of the other sequels have just sort of been in the shadow of it. And they've all sort of, in my opinion, failed to justify themselves. And I think partly because the sequels, especially the further ones that have come out, and I'm specifically looking at the most recent three, they've kind of been about everything except dinosaurs. And it's almost forgotten what the point of these movies are supposed to be. It's not supposed to be about some save the world venture or character drama or shoehorned love stories or bizarre cloning. It's none of that. The movies are about dinosaurs and re-engineered dinosaurs. There's really no more need to complicate it. Just make a movie about dinosaurs. Build it and they will come. Now, people will show up for these movies. They have for the last five sequels, and the films have made spectacular amounts of money, regardless of the quality. But something that has been on my mind for a long time is that the farther we've gotten from the original film, one key ingredient has been missing, and that is the element of fear. Dinosaurs are scary, or at least in theory, they should be. And if you're talking about a story where dinosaurs are re-engineered and brought back to life, that's a frightening concept in its own right. And something the original film had that none of the films up until this point have been able to capture is pure suspense and terror. And that is something that this new film delivers tenfold. Yes, dinosaurs are scary again. I'm going to go so far as to say that director Gareth Edwards gives us the best sequel to any Jurassic Park film, meaning that this film feels as close to the original as it can possibly be without trying to replicate it or remake it in a way. This film sort of acts as a quasi-reboot. I mean, they make passing references to some of the other films and characters, but largely this movie stands on its own, which I think was a smart idea. Again, don't try to overcomplicate these stories. Don't try to make them something that they're not. Just focus on the dinosaurs, their back, and then throw the people into the situation. Now, this film stars Scarlett Johansson. I have to just say, the cast in this film is phenomenal. In addition to Scarlett Johansson, you've got Jonathan Bailey, Rupert Friend, Marshalla Ali. Just a fantastic group that sort of make this film feel, in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like it's a callback to the archetypes of the original without trying to replicate it in a way. Again, this is a movie that doesn't go out of its way to do a sort of a shot-for-shot remake or nostalgia hat tips to the original film. Anything that does happen in this movie feels earned. Particularly, there's a moment which I've seen people compare to the Sam Neill character's reaction in the original film when he first sees a brontosaurus. There's a moment like that in this film where the character of Dr. Henry Loomis, played by Jonathan Bailey, has a similar reaction to seeing the dinosaurs. And because he's a paleontologist, it's right in his wheelhouse. But again, it feels earned in a way, and his reaction is so genuine. It just brings to mind the magic and wonder that was a part of that first film. Now, the plot of this movie involves a group led by Scarlett Johansson's character to head to the test island for the one of the Jurassic Park theme parks and attempt to extract DNA from three of the massive dinosaurs on the island in hopes of developing a groundbreaking medical breakthrough. Now, that's sort of all noise and background information. What we go to see in these movies are the dinosaurs and how the situation is going to revolve around them. And this is a film where we're right in the element, we're right in their world, and it's an adrenaline rush. It felt like the best possible amusement park ride. There is one particular sequence, and it's been teased in a lot of the trailers and teasers before the film. It is the scene involving the Tyrannosaurus Rex and this family that also gets caught up on the island trying to escape the T-Rex in a raft boat. And this was actually a scene in the original novel. It was supposed to be in the original film, but was scrapped. So kind of, it feels like we've come full circle in this particular scene and sequence. And I have to say, you could hear a pin drop when this happened. The way it unfolds, it brings to mind images from Jaws, the original first encounter with the T-Rex from the first film. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat, white-knuckling the armrest. That's how intense this film is. And then later on, we get, of course, because as I said, this is a monster movie, after all, we get some mutated dinosaurs. Like I said, the film really plays into the mad scientist angle of this franchise, which I think, frankly, has been underutilized. And this movie felt like, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to what made that first film entertain and enthrall audiences. Again, you're never going to recapture the ingenuity and original nature of that film, but you can capture the spirit and the intensity. And that's what this film has in droves. It is an intense, thrill ride that made me feel like I was watching the original Jurassic Park again, just from that pure spectacle and entertainment purpose. And I get it's amazing. There have been 6 sequels. They've all been fair at best. Many of them, I would even argue, are downright terrible. Now, they've all made money, so again, that's a whole other thing. But this movie felt like a return to that idea that dinosaurs should be terrifying. It doesn't go out of its way to make them a joke. And a lot of the other films, particularly the last 3, I felt like the dinosaurs have just been big buffoons on the screen and not really there for any purpose other than like, oh, look, there's a dinosaur. Move along. And this time, the joke is over and the dinosaurs are terrifying monsters. And that's what this should be. That's what this should have been. It's amazing how we've had 5 sequels and sort of that whole idea has been stretched to extreme proportions. This felt like a return to form, a reminder that this is not some time-traveling movie. It's not man being thrown back hundreds of millions of years and put into the world of dinosaurs. These are re-engineered, recreated dinosaurs brought back to life and put in our world, and we're reacting to them and vice versa. That, to me, is what has been missing from this franchise for the longest time, just that pure sense of awe and terror. And so this film fortunately delivers on it. Whether there are more movies down the road, who knows? Of course, if this film makes a lot of money, I'm sure there will be talks about a sequel. That is the nature of Hollywood. But for now, I'm just glad that this film exists, because this is the Jurassic Park sequel I have been waiting for. And as far as I'm concerned, Jurassic World Rebirth rebirths this franchise for a whole new generation and makes dinosaurs terrifying once again. So after all these years, all the bends and turns, the 5 sequels, the attempts to reinvent the wheel, life found a way. Jurassic World Rebirth found a way. Dinosaurs are back, and they are scary again. And I will take that as my cue to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in to today's show. I'll be back next week with a look at the year that has been. Hard to believe that we are now 6 months into 2025. The year is flying faster than I realized, but what a year it has been for movies. And so I thought for next week's show, given that I have dropped these 2 reviews for today, next week's episode will center on my 10 favorite films of the year so far. I'm sure the list will evolve over the next 6 months, but it will be fun to see where things stand at the 6-month point, and then, of course, look ahead to what we'll be releasing over the next 6 months. But on that note, everybody, thank you again for checking out today's episode. Go see some movies this weekend. Highly recommend F1. It opens nationwide today. Next week, Jurassic World Rebirth. And of course, as always, buy physical media, support your local theater, and I will be back here next week where we will do this all over again for the love of movies. Makes every